Crazy Hangover, it's the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean. I just want it to be known that Danny has the inferior beard now. I am the beard of the show. Danny is just in the background somewhere with his little goatee, or his little beard.
No, I mean, it's a thing of, I've already proven what I can do. So I can just sit back and wait for you to try to catch up to what was my beard.
I feel like I'm at a disadvantage. It's every day I just wait for somebody to pull me in the office and go, you know, bro, you got to trim that shit.
You know, before you do, though, man, you just have to go full neckbeard. Mm. Go to Amazon and get what you think is a fedora, but really is a trilby. Just carry a body pillow into work.
Be like, kid, sir, can you leave? Can you go back to Toledo? We made mistakes. Mistakes were made.
wear one of your anime shirts with a sports coat over it because you're also dressed up. Go with your trilby.
We're just going out on a night of town. Woo, woo.
Me and my ladies, plural. You just have two pillows. Shh. Don't talk about them like that.
Wow.
They can hear you.
Do you talk to your wife like that?
I know. Do you just treat your wife like a pillow?
Pretty much, right?
So, we missed a week of recording because Sean did the shittiest LeBron James impersonation ever.
I'm going to take my... Because I take my talents to the Delaware River.
Yes, at least when LeBron James took his talents out of Ohio, he fucking moved to a nice place, man. He went from Toledo. Well, I guess it's still an upgrade. I mean, anything's an upgrade above Toledo, most pretty much.
Dude, it's not like I found so Jersey's like the capital of diners. Dude, I just like realized like where I landed is like a really good food area for Jersey. Like, there's so many restaurants to like try still.
So the gentrification has been kicking in full force there, is what you're saying?
Uh-huh, basically. And then there's plenty of breweries I still have to try in this area. I can't even leave like 20 miles out of my area without trying new restaurants and breweries.
I mean, it must be pretty hard to hit multiple breweries each day when you have to take a fucking tour every time.
You know what? I just lie now. I don't know if I should say that on the air, but I just lie. Oh, yeah, I've been here before. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, you're top-notch tour, man.
Dude, super good. So the water thingy goes in the grain thing, and then boom, it just makes beer. It's amazing.
You got those overflow pipes leading straight into, like, the drains, and you got, like, the fermenters and the bright tanks. Mm-hmm. Dude, cleaning supplies galore because you don't want your shit getting infected. It's amazing. Can I have another beer, please? Oh, yeah, yeah. That dude back there with, like, the giant paddle stirring shit with the impressive beard.
I was going to say the guy with the beard in the back.
Yeah, the guy with the beard in the back. Dude, that guy was top-notch, man. Customer service galore.
Do you feel like when you apply to work at a brewery, like, if you're in the back, like, if you don't have a beard, like, you're just like... So, you know, we're going to go with a different direction. We found a guy with a beard, and, you know, we just really felt this skill set was a lot higher, better than yours.
I don't know, man. There's a coffee company whose social medias I follow called Black Rifle. They're veteran-owned and founded. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the guys have, like, pretty impressive beards, and one dude doesn't. And they make just these videos where they're just going around shooting and blowing up shit and kind of sort of making fun of the military, but not quite. Mm-hmm. But they have one where they like pull up and like the main one dude, Matt Best, pulls up to the other co-founder, Evan Hafer, who doesn't have a beard.
Yeah.
And he's like, just because someone doesn't have a beard doesn't make him a pussy. And then he turns around and like shoots like six shots and hits all six targets.
Yeah.
So if Matt Best says it's okay not to have a beard, it's okay not to have a beard.
I will kindly decline that request.
Oh, man. So, you know, I told you before we got on that I had some breaking news to me that's kind of old news, I guess.
Okay. What is it?
So I was just sitting here waiting, and I was just wondering, I'm like, can you drink while streaming on Twitch? Mm-hmm. Right?
That's a fair question. Because
they're, like, banning all these people for just seemingly random things. Like, this one girl got banned because she posted did a video stream from herself at the gym.
Yeah.
Because she was wearing suggestive clothing, and her suggestive clothing was, you know, yoga pants and, like, a sports bra, because she was, you know, at the gym.
I mean, a bra's a bra.
Right, apparently.
I mean,
so,
at least they're trying to be consistent. The word bra showed up.
Right. So, it's weird because, and this is where the confusion, I guess, of Twitch comes in, because I found two examples where their drinking is mentioned in their terms of service, and they contradict each other, kind of. Uh-huh. So the first one is self-destructive behavior. Any activity that may endanger your life or lead to your physical harm is prohibited. This includes, but is not limited to suicide, threats, intentional physical trauma, use of illegal drugs, and drinking excessively.
I mean, honestly, they should just shut down Twitch, because if you play video games, somebody might SWAT you.
Right.
So that's dangerous. So you might as well just stop streaming video games.
Or according to Fox News and other old people, you might go shoot up a school if you play video games. So that's possibly self-destructive as well.
Fair enough.
But then here's like the thing that contradicts it. It says examples of what you cannot broadcast on social eating. Well, I guess it's just on the social eating itself. Primarily eating junk food such as candy, condiments, or energy food.
So it's like Twitch is just like, I just imagine a corporate office where it's like, we need somebody that's going to really save Twitch. And then you just kind of pan over and there's just a guy, you know, the weird guy just sitting there in the corner eating. He's like, "Why, dude, why are you streaming? You're just eating." And then he's just like, And then they look and there's like 10,000 followers. Who's watching this man eat?
Well, like, not only is he in the corner eating, but he's just like taking like ketchup and mustard bottles and squirting them into his mouth. Because that's one of the things that's banned is condiments.
I feel like that's not fair.
No.
You have to eat relish. A hot dog without a relish and mustard?
Yes.
I don't want to eat this plain hot dog.
Like, what constitutes a condiment? Like, if you're eating, like, a tomato salad, because it's like, in a salad, it's a thing, but on a hamburger, it's a condiment, I guess, right? Exactly. But then here's the one that says, primarily drinking alcoholic beverages, such as taking shots, drinking games, binge drinking, or drinking parties are not allowed.
What if I'm just drinking by myself because I'm depressed?
Well, that's under the suicidal part.
No, it's suicide prevention.
Yes. I saw a picture somebody posted. It's like, sorry, sir, you can't bring food in here. And it's like, this is my homie. And it was a picture of a burrito in a support animal vest. It's my emotional support burrito. So, we've had a couple weeks of either between being off and guests, we're back to our regular old lame-ass ways, apparently.
Yeah, just ignore us now. Go home. Might as well turn off.
Yes.
Unless you want to learn about something about Denver, then you might want to stick around.
Well, I was going to say, maybe we just lost your dad, because he already knows about Denver. So there goes like a third of our audience.
I mean, at least we explored some new food options.
Yes. So
he did learn about Denver while we were out there.
He did learn a little bit, yes. He did learn that, you know, if you go to a popular restaurant downtown during a convention day, it's probably going to be crowded on Saturday morning at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh man, what a good week!
It was, dude. But for today, man, Sean, I've decided to jump on the trend of stealing other people's ideas. What's that? I had the term, and then we talked about your dad, and I lost it.
Oh, gotcha.
Intellectual property. That's it. The intellectual property theft bandwagon of breweries.
Okay.
I'm drinking a beer by Creative Creature, which is kind of ironic. It's based in El Cajon, California, which is somewhere near San Diego, close enough to San Diego that that's all that's going to get from me. But it's a red raspberry sour, like fruited sour, that probably would explode if I left it out. So it jumped on multiple bandwagons, the exploding beers and the intellectual property theft, because its label just basically looks like the Smucker's jam, but it's called Smackers. And it's 5%, and it's very fruity and very good. It tastes like you're drinking like jam. It's very jammy.
Very nice. Very jam. I heard you. Are you busting a jam?
Very jam. I'm busting a jam.
Dap it. Everybody.
That's you.
Everybody, put your hand up. Look down.
That's
to the right. Dap, dap, dap.
That's you and your millennial ways, Sean.
I almost sometimes love when, like, my favorite thing is, like, that somebody goes, fuck millennials, and I'll just look at them, and I'll be like, I'm a millennial. And they're like, no, you're not supposed to be one. You're contradicting all the stereotypes, in a way. Only the negative things about being lazy and not working hard at work and owning a house.
They go full Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequels when Anakin turns to the dark side. Yeah. He's like, no! You're supposed to be one of us! You're supposed to fulfill the prophecy!
Yeah.
That?
Yeah, pretty much. They'll just be looking like, they do that stupid dance and I'll look at them and I'll be like, ha! Ha! It's also like, they're like, oh my god, like who hired this guy?
Just leave. Like, he's a millennial neckbeard.
Beard drinking coffee at a Yeti's. I started eating a Kodiak cakes and oatmeal and stuff. I'm just like riding the train.
Well, you just. I mean, you do have a house, though, and that's because you don't eat avocado toast. So there, you're settled there. You've made your choices.
Sometimes I have to decide between the electric bill and avocado toast.
Because, you know, according to the old people, fruits and vegetables are a luxury item.
Speaking about millennials and their crazy-ass beer, I am drinking from Weldworks Brewing since 2015. I don't know where that means or where they're from. They're up north. They're north of Denver, in that place.
Greeley.
It used to be a shit town. Now it's not much of a shit town, according to local Denver tourists that may be listening to the show.
Tour guide. Local Denver tour guide.
I'm drinking the Hubba Hubba Peanut Butter Milk Stout brewed with peanut flour, banana puree, and milk sugar. One of the things I learned in Denver is I still love their stouts. Like, everywhere I go, I'm just like, stout, porter, stout, porter, stout, porter, stout, porter, stout, porter. And it's, like, super good between Left Hand and Great Divide, Weldworks. Just fantastic.
Yeah, I had...
Maybe it's in the water.
Maybe. I had, like, reverse, I guess, the opposite of buyer's remorse when I got back, because I'm like, man, I should have brought more beer back, like different varieties, because I only brought back the two varieties.
Taco and peanut butter?
No, taco and the Martzen.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I should have got like a thing of the peanut butter, and I think you had one of your, that one beer in the box left. I should have grabbed that one from you.
I don't know which one, but okay.
The bottle. I thought you brought two of those and we only drank one. Or did we drink both of them? I don't remember.
No, there is a box. There is a bottle in a box that's at my dad's house.
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah, Tonewood.
Yeah, I should have grabbed that because I was going to try to weasel my way onto either another beer podcast or go to a bottle share and just bring stuff. Yeah. And make friends.
You should have took that fucking fast blue rib and coffee.
I meant to bring that one too. I forgot about that.
Dude, everybody on the West Coast would have freaked out because I don't think you could get it anywhere over there.
No, you can't. Oh, man. But, yeah, like what you said about like the stouts and porters, like that's how I felt about their sour scene, too, man. Like, Denver is just a really strong beer scene.
It is.
It makes me happy. So, upon, like, how does it taste having traveled? I know you had it at the brewery, live and fresh, in a cup.
To be honest with you, I can't remember. It was too long ago. And a lot of beer, way too many beers later.
Well, you may not remember exactly, but it's like when you, like, haven't hung out with me for a while, and then you do, and you forget what it's like, and you just feel that sense of disappointment. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. It was better when he wasn't here. So do you feel disappointed drinking it now?
Everybody hurts. No, actually, I get the all – I think the only thing – do I get the banana?
I don't know. I can't tell, man. I'm too far away.
Can you take a sip and let me know? You definitely get the sugary peanut butter taste, which is really good, and the stout, the nice stout on there. I think you get banana. It's in there. I think I'm just ignoring it. Because there's there's something else I taste, and I can't put my finger on it. I think it's supposed to be, like, banana-like.
Right. Would the banana add, like, a texture to it as well? Kind of like the milk stout?
I don't know if banana would, to be honest. I haven't looked into the effects of banana in the beer.
You haven't stuck enough bananas in your beer?
No, I have not.
Oh, man. So while we were away, Sean, or shortly before we left, there were a couple breweries in Orange County closed down.
Oh, no. What happened? Who's gone?
One of them was I had it and then I lost it. I always forget the one that's like it's across the street from Gunwale Ales in Costa Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
But they Farley Forge.
Mm-hmm.
So they closed down. Apparently, like a while ago, they had some weird social media drama going on where a bunch of people quit and was going back and forth. And then
Like brewers or like
helpers? Front of house.
Mm.
Like I guess like their entire front of house quit.
That's a problem.
Yeah. But then, so they stuck around for a while, and I guess their lease was up, and they decided not to renew their lease.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know how it's going to affect Gunwale Ales across the street, or if that's kind of why they decided to open a second, larger location. Because yeah. Where they're located, across the street from Barley Forge, it's not a very big spot. Yeah. And so what they would do is they would do a lot of their mash cooking at the Barley Forge's brewing area, tank it, and then take it back over to their brewery and finish it off.
Interesting.
Because literally it was like across the street, like an industrial park.
Yeah.
And you could walk. It's like a 45-second walk.
Okay.
So, like when I heard they were across the street, I was like, that's cool. And then I went, I'm like, no, seriously, like, they're across the street. Like, it's closer than you would think.
That's funny.
And then the other one is called Hopperazzi.
Mm-hmm.
Which... it's kind of located right by Bottle Logic.
Okay.
Like, within, like, a two-minute walk of Bottle Logic.
Okay. That close? Is it, like, in the same, like, complex area?
Where the Bottle Logic is, there's the complex. Like, if you go down the street and Bottle Logic's on the left,
yeah,
they're in the complex that was on the right.
Got you. I thought that... oh, Phantom Ales is down the street, right?
Yeah, Phantom Ales is, like, a mile and a half. Like, a half a mile away or mile away or so.
Okay, gotcha.
But for me, I never went there, and people tell me their beer is good, but I come to find out, like, even though their name is Hopperazzi, they didn't make hoppy beers.
You know, that's some false advertisement if I never heard
any. Yes. So the people like me who weren't really necessarily into hoppy beers didn't go there because their name, and then the people who weren't were like, let's go get fucking pine treed up.
Let's
would roll in
some
and
massacre IPAs, brah.
Let's get all the bitters. And they would roll in and be like disappointed because, well, they didn't have very hoppy beers. So, but they opened up another brewery like a little ways away from Bottle Logic called Brewery X.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those like super team breweries where people that brewed at other breweries opened it up. And I have heard nothing but positive reviews about this place.
Mm.
I haven't had a chance to get out there yet, but...
next time you go to Bottle Logic.
And have time. Because I've been out there since, but I just like had to go pick up my bottles and come back home pretty much.
Mm, that's no good.
No, like I had to make it home for the day so we could record with a friend of the show, fellow podcaster Justin Mulari of the Geek Offensive.
Notice me, senpai.
Yes. So, yeah, I think he noticed us, and he's trying to forget that.
Like a bad hangover. What did I do last night? Ugh.
Why is my crotch all itchy? Oh. So as we, I would say alluded to, but we pretty blatantly mentioned that we spent some time getting our drinks on in Denver.
I was never in Denver, Colorado during the week, the first week of the month.
No?
No. It was a phantom. That was a clone.
The Clone Wars begun, it has?
Yes. So the Great America Beer Festival was in Denver, but we came in a few days early to check out a couple events. On Tuesday night, we met up with the... We went to the Untapped event at...
Cerebral.
Who had a really good stout reporter. I feel like I just said that about the Denver
area. I think that'll be a reoccurring theme.
I almost have to go on back on Untappd to see what I drank. Because, like, I think at the first day, I marked everything that I liked. And on the second day, like, I was, like, over that shit. But somebody did toast me on Untappd from that when I tagged their brewery. So I feel noticed.
Yeah, it is pretty uplifting of your reinforcement bubble when you get that, like, senpai noticed me.
He said thank you to me. Oh my god, he cares. You know,
yes.
General just common courtesy.
Well, I mean, it's not very common anymore.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah, it was funny because we ended up, you know, running into this guy, and I, you know, kept forgetting his name. I just remembered he was from Texas, so I would call him Tex until my dumbass finally remembered his name of Nate.
True.
And so we ended up, like, going to the, like I said, the Untappd event, got some beers, got some stickers, I got a free shirt. You didn't.
No, because obviously I can't win. I can't have nice things.
No, that's obviously made known by the fact that you're my friend. You can't have nice things, man.
Very true.
But the funny story about Nate is we pretty much ran into him everywhere we went the whole weekend.
Every day. We only had to purposely try to look for him on the last day, on Saturday.
And even then, it was almost like he found us.
Yeah.
That day. But, like, yeah, one day, like, we're sitting at Left Hand, and I was like, I wonder if we're going to see Nate. And then you're like, oh, never mind, there he is.
Here's Nate. We went to all these events, and we just go over to Left Hand to go casually drink. And then, you know, what a rogue pint turns into, like, three.
Yes. Oh, man, but that guy was a trooper, man. Like, mm-hmm. Driving there and sleeping in his truck.
He got better than me. To 3 hours away, I'm just like, I can't make that trip. It's too much time to fly there. Takes too long to drive.
I mean, we had to drive to the train station, and I was put out by that. Oh, man.
What was your favorite thing about the fest?
I was actually going to just say that, oddly enough. So, but I was going to tell a quick story before I got to that point.
Good point.
I went to... The LA Kings home opener on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And concurrently, Comic-Con Revolution was going on.
Okay.
And so, you know, I didn't look to see what time the con opened, but usually on Saturdays it's like 10, right? When they open the doors.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we drive by and it's noon and the fucking lines are still ridiculously long to get in.
Wow. That's terrible.
And friend of the show, Cheryl Jones, host of the Movies Made Me podcast. Check that out. She posted on the social medias that LA Comic-Con can officially blow her because it took her like 2 hours to get off the freeway and get parking.
Oh, wow. When you can't even get the guests in the door, you got something wrong.
And she said luckily she had, like, the press/professional badge area. Yeah. So she didn't have to stand with the go in with the rest of the peasants. Which, one year, I can't remember, I want to say it was Kamikaze. Hmm. She posted on the social medias that she, for one day she had a ticket free, and if anybody wanted to go, call it. And so I ended up calling it and went with her, and it was pretty. It is pretty nice to be able to use the non-peasant entrance. Like, they barely, like, acknowledge that you have gear, like, your bags. Like, they just kind of glance in its general direction, and you just walk right in, no line.
Yeah.
And so... But yeah, because even for me getting there like afternoon, like at noonish, it took me like almost 45 minutes to get off the freeway. Wow. While I was like in the lane for the off ramp.
That's terrible.
That being said, like, I mean, we got there like about an hour before the doors opened. But they were like, once they opened the doors, man, it was like the fucking floodgates, dude. Like, yeah. They had ample security checking bags, checking badges, checking IDs. Like, they had it. In stages, like you should. Like, it wasn't all just one station. Like, you went, to even get in the door, you had to show your ID. Then you went, and you went through security, and then you had your ticket scanned, and you're inside. And then you go up, and they had, like, two areas to get your glasses.
And they had restrooms.
Oh, yeah.
So while you were waiting in line after probably eating breakfast or lunch or dinner, or depending on what time you were going to the show, you could actually like use the restroom after waiting in line for like 40 minutes, and then just so that way you could once you got into the show, you could head off instead of like do the potty dance, and then after they open up the show, you could run over there and go use the restroom.
Right. And they basically like let us in about what, 30-35 minutes early, kind of staged everybody.
Yep.
And so by the time it was time to actually like officially open the event, pretty much everybody was inside, or at least most people were inside.
No, definitely. And so
I think, you know, out of all the different beers and the breweries and just talking to people and stuff, I think my favorite thing just showed how much fun a well-run convention can be.
No, that is true. I mean, it was very easy to get in and out. I think, you know, having controlled tickets is definitely a big thing. I don't know, the LA shows, do they suffer from the same Anime Expo bullshit where they just sell too many tickets?
You know what? I don't know for sure, but I haven't read anything about it, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, even as we're, like, walking to the Kings game, it was, like, 3 o'clock, and it was quite a decent number of groups of people just kind of milling around going to get food and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I understand they don't want the convention floor to be empty at certain times, like if people are in panels or if people are, you know. So, yeah. I mean, I understand overselling a little bit, but it seems like, at least for Anime Expo, they oversell ridiculously.
A lot of it.
Yes, a little bit.
No,
and
I think...
Because it's like...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's kind of like with hotels, where they kind of overbook by, like, a couple percent because they know people are going to cancel last minute or whatever.
Yeah.
No, carry on. True.
No, I was just going to say, you're right. It was just nice to how you could get checked in and then you were ready to go into the con, really, like 20 minutes left. You already went through security, you already got your badge and whatnot. One of my favorite parts, and I don't know if this is just, you know, more of a shame thing, but if you dropped your glass and it broke, like, everybody just, like, yelled and booed and cheered. And you like, it, if it would just be funny, you'd be on one side of the car, and you just hear, like, oh, and then you're just like, oh, somebody broke the glass over there. You didn't even have to hear the glass.
Right, and that seems to be the norm at drinking conventions that are too fancy for plastic glasses and want the glasses.
Yeah.
If you drop your glass, you're gonna be openly mocked.
That is true. You know, the question I had too is just like, how did somebody get drunk off one ounce Sam? I guess you just go to town, right? Just powering through.
Well, like we walked by how many breweries, because we're kind of more picky about what we drank. We didn't just like, oh, the empty table, mm-hmm. empty table. Like we weren't, and I almost felt like leaving Saturday, I was like, dude, I'm not even really buzzed. Like, did I get ripped off? Like, did I shortchange myself? I mean, I don't want to be like that dude. Like, we saw a guy Friday after the show that was puking and had pissed himself.
Yeah. Dude, to have 4 pints, you have had to try 64 beers.
Yes.
That's a lot. Do you even know what you're drinking after, like, 40? 30?
After 10? Well, how about this? Do you even care what you're drinking, like, as you're taking your first drink? Or are you just, like I said, give me your highest ABV. Like, oh, empty tape. Like, the one next to it's empty. Your highest ABV. Your high. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah. Like, we're talking. Dude, that guy. Piss drunk, throwing up. Like, had to literally be held by a stranger.
Yeah. He had his significant other, either girlfriend or wife. She had to recruit some random dude to help hold him up to pour him into the Uber.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, so sad.
I mean, that was, like, and it was funny because he was the only real drunk person I saw. Like, I didn't see anybody, like, and I went to one of the bathrooms near the end and somebody had puked and didn't all make it in the toilet, but I didn't really see, like, 10 people hanging out by the bathrooms like I thought I would see. Like, I've seen it other drinking, at beer, like, what's it called? Beer, festivals. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. Words hard.
Words are hard. I will say the only bad thing is, though, I don't know if it happened to you, but I ended up getting sick on the last day. So I thought, like, it was allergies. Dude, I was, like, miserable, like, the whole Sunday, and then trying to drive to Jersey. I went through, like, the sore throat phase, went through, like, sinus pressure, sneezing, and then it, like, was a cough for a couple days. Like, that was, like, the worst part for me is just getting sick.
Like, no. I mean, I only had minor, like, I guess, inconvenience compared to you because I brought, like, a couple extra allergy pills, but I ended up giving them to you and your significant other. Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't have one to take the last day, and your dad's dogs are pretty much some of the hairiest beasts around.
And the wildest.
Well, one of them is, yes. But also the permanent puppy dog face.
Yes.
With the puppy dog eyes that you can't be mad at.
That is true. The dog is crazy.
But yeah, so I'm like allergic to animal hair, so I, like, had to deal with that, but once I, like, got him, like, away from there and got to the airport and, like, washed my face and got all that off, I was mostly okay, but, yeah, it was nowhere near as bad as you.
Yeah, I was trying to think, too, like, I don't even know anybody. I think there was, like, one person that I bumped into that was sick, and that was on Monday, so it was hard to believe that it took all the way to Saturday to get sick.
And it might have just been, like, a climate change thing more than, like, sickness. Because it doesn't sound like a standard, like, con-funk cold.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I didn't feel like it was, like, con crud or anything. Because that was the other thing I was thinking about, like, last week. I was just like, dude, I don't know if, like, I think, like, on Monday night or I think it was Monday night or, because we talked about recording Tuesday night, right?
Yeah.
Dude, like, my voice was, like disappearing. Like, I didn't even know, like, I'm glad that you called the audible, because, like, I was going to be like, maybe I do have to, like, cancel, because, like, I was going to be like, oh, this is John at the We Are Adult Show.
No, I'm not doing my best anti-smoking PSA commercial impersonation.
Yeah, I just can't talk. My throat hurts.
Yeah, I called that audible because I, like, when you said that the drive was miserable, and I'm like, dude, all right, we're not going to record today. You know what? You're just getting situated. Let's just skip a week. I know they say not to do that shit. They say to be consistent, but this is like a extenuating circumstance. Let's just take a break. Because I was tired too. Like, I had a hard time getting back into the routine of sleeping normal.
Yeah, that happens.
But you know, as we were exploring Denver, we kind of had to, like, we were kind of limited in our food choices, which didn't turn out to be the worst thing in the world, surprisingly.
No, I thought we found a really good breakfast place, which was really good. Went to a pizza place. I forget what it's called. Mellow Mushroom.
Oh, yeah, Mellow Mushroom.
That was good.
I thought you'd talk about that first place. It was basically just one of those generic, like, Subway-esque pizza places where they have a crust, you throw your toppings on, they cook it for...
No,
and I forgot about Mellow Mushroom. I mean, outside of them, like, jizzing all over your pizza, even though you asked them not to. And the guy's like, you sure you don't want the jizz? We'll bring you another one jizz-free, too. And you're like, it's cool, man. I don't need the jizz. Especially two flavors of jizz.
It's like, do you want ranch on your pizza? I'm like, no, please, no ranch or the blue cheese, whatever it was. And then it comes out with it, and they're just like, yeah. Like, I was like, are you sure you don't want it? I'm like, dude, I can't stand it. Why would I want a pizza with it on if I can't stand it? I asked for it not to be on there for a reason.
And it's almost like the chef just, like, you know,
didn't give
put
a fuck.
Extra. Did you ever see the episode of South Park where they're making fun of people who yelped?
No.
They you know how South Park is famous for their songs. Yeah. So they talked about yes. So that maybe it's a good thing you didn't eat that pizza because the song they sang was called Boogers and Cum. And just showed the dude like picking his nose and wiping over a pizza or another and another one the guy's like pulls the plate down behind the counter and just starts like his hand starts shaking.
Oh boy.
And they're like, this sauce, it's got a nice tang to it. It's got a little spice, but not too spicy. And they're like, he's walks away, he's like, because you're eating some boogers and cum.
Oh, I never want to eat food again.
Well, just don't point out that you're a Yelper or a podcaster before. Wait till after. A Yelping podcaster. I have a podcast about Yelping. But yeah, that pizza place was good, and the other place that I thought that was like amazing that I wish was more local was local to me was the Genghis Grill.
Oh yeah, that was actually pretty good because I went to one of those in Toledo. I mean, it's probably the only one in Toledo, and it's freaking terrible. It wasn't that good at all.
So you, even though you've been to one and it's terrible, you decided to give it a second shot?
It was another city and another company, so I had faith.
Well, because, it wasn't a Genghis Grill?
No, it was a different...
Okay.
Yeah. Different company.
Okay, when you said we had one of those, I thought you meant Genghis Grill, no. Not a Mongolian barbecue.
I think it was called literally Mongolian Grill.
Oh, okay.
It's like the running joke. It's like, you know what, so after, you know, like, this is, like, months later, and we're, like, committed to never go back, drive by the mall, it's like, oh, look, there's Mongolian Grill. You know what sounds real good? Mongolian Grill.
Well, it's like there's
disappointed tonight.
Yes. It's like, there's a bakery downtown Riverside called Something Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's like, you know, it's after dinner, you're walking around, and you're like, you know what, I could go for something sweet. Me too. And then there you go, right there. Bam. Name.
Boom.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I told my wife, I said, if we do that again, I think we do the Thursday night, Saturday afternoon session.
That makes sense. Friday to recover.
Yeah, or
Friday
just kind of
Saturday
like,
morning was rough.
And it wasn't even like the Friday to recover. It's more the we're not getting to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning Friday night to be back at the place at noon on Saturday. And by be there at noon, I mean like walk. Like the con starts at noon, so we have to go eat breakfast. We have to like get dressed, get there, eat breakfast, get in, and all that shit before noon.
Yeah.
So in reality, it's like go to sleep at 1 o'clock and like be awake at like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Yeah. No, that was a rough turn of events.
And, you know, people like Nate Dog texts there. He was a trooper, man. He did all 4 days.
Yeah, all four sessions.
All four sessions, yeah. So 3 days, four sessions. Fuck. We're old or something. I don't know what's wrong with this.
I don't know. I gave up on life a long time ago. because, you know, you think a four-hour sessions wouldn't be bad, but that noon one was just, like, you know, after not sleeping all that well, and just like, and then having to get up early, you're just like, man, this is not what I want to do right now. Just start drinking again.
Right. And again, I think it would have been fine if we wouldn't have, you know, gone to bed at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
That is true.
Friday night. I think if we would have had like Thursday and gone to bed at like a decent time of maybe like 10 or 11.
Yeah.
You know, we would be like fucking chipper. Even if we drank all day Friday, but didn't go to bed that late, we would have been fine.
No, that's a fair point.
And I wonder if Thursday is less busy than like Friday night.
Yeah, I believe like even like a couple weeks before, it was like Saturday night and Thursday were not sold out yet. So those took to like the longest to sell out.
Right, and part of me, like the sadist or the masochist in me, wants to do the Saturday night just to watch the shit show of everybody getting hammered, because I think that's where the army of like pants pissing pukers are.
The people that did both sessions,
or when you're like going up and it's like, well, last call is in 20 minutes, and we just want to tap this fucking keg, just like let's fill your glass.
True.
Even though, like, one of the big things that they kind of, like, list as a point of pride is they don't overpour. I mean, and the people were, like, right on. Like, there was, like, a 1 ounce line for some of the beers, and then they gave a little bit more for, like, the lighter beers. But, yeah, I didn't really get much more than an ounce on the heavy beers. If it was, like, nominal amount over the line.
Yeah. No, definitely.
But, yeah, I mean, if you're into beer and you just want a good time, like, even if you don't go to the Great American Beer Fest, like, just go to Denver that week of, because it's also Denver Beer Week. They definitely do a lot of, like, events, collaborations. It's just basically a week of beer partying.
Oh, I think there was, like, stuff going on, like, everywhere at every brewery. It was ridiculous.
Multiple days, because even, like, Cerebral had a couple events. We went to Black Project that Tuesday night after going to Cerebral because we thought it was around the corner, but apparently the Denver Mile is also the same as like the LA or New York Mile now, even though it shouldn't be. But they had like a Great Notion from Portland did a tap takeover the next night.
Nice.
And I was like following the social meds for them, and they even like as of Saturday, they still had like a couple of the Great Notion beers on tap.
Oh, nice.
If we weren't at the event, so we didn't like have to miss out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we wouldn't have missed out if we weren't at the festival.
Yeah.
So I mean, I know we talked about like if we would do it again then, but now that you've had like a couple weeks to recover, would that be something you'd want to do again?
I think I would be up for it again down the road. You know, it's kind of like I think about like New York Comic Con and Emerald City, you know, it'd always be fun to go back after a certain amount of point. Because, like, there's just things that you just can't experience outside of that.
Right. And like I said, that we've kind of figured out, at least for us, the best way of spacing out the days.
Yeah. No, I think it would be a lot easier to do those other days like you talked about, and I think it would make the trip a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah, like, go out there again, like, Tuesday, hang out Tuesday night, Wednesday, go to the event Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
then do Friday, just whatever, and then Saturday, the festival, and then Sunday, head home again.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only bad thing for me is because I'm flying, like, East Coast, so it's like, I almost have to take off Monday so I can have, like, so I can actually recover from the travel.
Right. Well, I mean, at least in theory, next time you won't have like a 9-hour, 10-hour drive ahead of you when you get home.
Yeah. True. That is true.
Oh, man. So they released, there was a couple trailers released. Like, we're starting to get into the movies that are being released for the holidays or early next year.
Mm-hmm.
Into summer, like, because the summer's winding down, so they kind of want to get their, I guess, trailers viewed with the last of the summer blockbusters. Or
is there summer early blockbusters in October?
let me take that back. I guess it's starting to get into the holiday season movies.
Yeah.
Like the Christmas movies and stuff, so I guess these will be playing with the Christmas movies.
Yeah.
I always forget we're in October, man. I don't look at calendar. That's my wife's job, dude. Like, You know, people ask me, it's like, if I want to hang out with them on a certain day, and I kind of like stop and think, and they're like, well, if you can, I'm like, no, you know what, let me check with my wife, because she's the one that has the calendar. So I got to ask Jody, it's like, hey, do we have plans on this day?
Cause... Can I go out and play?
No, it's more a thing of, I'm a notorious double booker if I don't have somebody to keep.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes. So I'm like, dude, I don't know if I have plans or not, but so I don't want to like make plans and then find out that like we have to do like a family thing or something else that day. So let me just double check. And that's the one cool thing about my wife is like, I've never have to ask permission. I just have to like make sure it's clear, all clear.
Yeah. Can you call for Paul Revere? Give me one light, one lantern if we're good, too, if we're booked.
Pretty much, yes. And then the other thing, too, is if I really don't want to do it, I can text her, and it's like, hey, we're busy this day, right? And then, yeah, we're busy, and it's like, cool. Sorry, man, I can't do it, we're busy. it's not my fault. She's the keeper of the schedule.
Oh, so she know. So that's your code? If you say, are we busy this day?
No.
Oh.
I can just lie. I don't even have to involve her.
Oh, okay. You just blame her.
I just blame her, yeah. Oh, she said we're busy, man. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Next time. Next time, bro.
Yes. I mean, the best part, though, is I don't really get asked to enough things, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are complaining about Disney, like, making live-action versions of all of their animated movies.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I think people glossed over the fact that they're making a, and I didn't even, I'd heard rumors, mm-hmm. and I thought it was just that rumors until I saw the trailer. They're making a movie based on the Jungle Cruise ride.
Oh, I honestly, when you sent me the trailer and it said Jungle Cruise trailer, I was like, what am I watching? And then I was like, why is The Rock in this? And then I was like, why? The Rock is in every Disney movie at this point. I mean, Dwayne
Pretty
Johnson.
Much. Yes. Pretty much. And the one thing that sucks about the trailer is they basically show the scene where they pay homage to the ride. Like, they didn't need to do that. That could have been left out of the trailer. Like, mm-hmm. especially the first trailer.
Yeah, I think they almost had to kind of tie it in a little bit, because you could definitely see where the story's going to, and I thought it was like really funny, like when he like looked at the people dressed up in the tribe that are supposed to be like dangerous, and then they get like really close, like one of the blow darts almost hits him, and he looks at him like, dude, what the fuck? And then the guy's like, sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was really funny, because it, like, it ties into how it's, like, really set up. And then, like, you know the joke they always make? If you're on the Jungle Cruise, and I don't know how many people have been on it, but, you know, they go on the backside of a waterfall, and the, like, reoccurring joke is, like, this is the backside of water. So it was just, like... I think it kind of just, like, makes it to where, like, if you know the ride, you're just laughing. Where, like, everybody else who's never been on, like, the Jungle Cruise is probably, like, this is probably the biggest garbage I've ever seen in my life.
Right. And maybe putting one or two of those jokes in there, but, like, again, like I said, like, I showed it to my wife. I watched it with her, and she was like, I think I've seen pretty much the whole movie. And I don't know how much of, like, the actual movie we've seen, but it definitely has the feel of, like, The Mummy, almost, with the special effects and or like Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yeah, true. I don't know. It's totally gonna be where he's like, you know, he's a Jungle Cruise guy that spices it up, and then like a real life shit happens, and he has to like step up, and he's gonna be like, I don't even really do this. It's all fake.
So. Right. So, I think. I mean, The Rock is The Rock. He'll make any movie pretty much entertaining.
Yeah.
Except as Justin Mallory pointed out when he did it, talking about his segment, Sincere Garbage, the Tooth Fairy, he couldn't save.
It was so bad. Nobody could save it.
Yeah. And then it has Emily Blunt in it as well, mm-hmm. who she's also starting to do more Disney movies because she was Mary Poppins.
Mm. Nice. I do enjoy Emily Blunt for whatever reason. I don't know. She's just, like, a fun actor. Like, you just can't, like, not... Like, I don't know who would say, like, Emily Blunt sucks at, like, acting or whatnot. She's just like a fun, especially in more of her recent movies, she's just fun to like watch on screen.
Right. And like the first time I remember seeing her in a movie was The Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm.
And she played that like stuck up kind of bitchy character almost a little too well.
Yeah.
She was mean to my poor Anne Hathaway. Who come to find out apparently it's like the opposite. Like Emily Blunt's like fun and fun loving in person, and Anne Hathaway is kind of the meanie in person, or at least snobbish.
It happens, man. It happens.
And then
Holy shit, breaking news. When you Google up Emily Blunt, it comes up A Quiet Place Part 2 is coming in 2020.
Oh.
under her name.
Well, because she made that with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's like, the dude from The Office married Emily Blunt? Good for him. Apparently, you know, it's kind of like when Isla Fisher married Vera Sacha Cohen.
Yeah.
That's another thing. It's like, man, some women don't lie when they say they find the sense of humor to be the sexiest thing about a man. I mean, I don't know why my wife married me, but, you know, good for them.
I mean, you're not funny.
I'm not funny or attractive or rich.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's like she needed a place to live. Like, her parents were moving out of, like, state, and so she didn't want to leave. So it's like, it's like, instead of, like, a green card, she just needed the California card. The best part about this is she's never going to hear it.
That is true. It's probably for the best.
She doesn't love me that enough to put up with my shit.
Or listen to your podcast.
Or both, yeah. But then, the other trailer that I'm like looking forward to with like nervous optimism, but I'm looking forward to with my, you know, like when like someone watches a scary movie, but they don't like scary movies, so they put their fingers in front of their hands in front of their face, and they watch it through their fingers.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to keep them safe. That's how I feel about this movie, The Birds of Prey. Dude, the full title. Did you see the full title of the movie?
Yeah, Birds of Prey. This is going to be a trash movie, and then it's going to be blamed that because there's no male leads. That's why everybody hates it.
What's got Ewan McGregor in it?
I mean, Ian is pretty dreamy, and he did kind of seem pretty cool in it. I mean, he does seem like a saving grace to it.
Because according to, you know, douchebag of the show, Jeremy from The Quartering.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, like, basically the Birds of Prey is, like, a man-hating movie. Because the bad guy is a man and the heroes are women.
I mean, Black Skull's kind of a big deal in the DC universe. Like, he's kind of a big deal. Like I don't know what they would have wanted. Like, I'm not angry about the choice.
Right, and it's not like he's, like, a shitty villain. Like you said, he's not just a shitty villain. He's a pretty major villain, so it makes sense that he would be the one picked. So here's the full official title of the movie, Sean. You ready?
Fucking do it.
So it's Birds of Prey, and then parentheses, and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
And that's why this movie is going to be garbage, is because we got another movie that I got to fucking watch Harley Quinn through, because they just have to, like, try to make as much money as they can off her.
Right, and you know, you can definitely tell when the studios get involved with the movie, where they're like, we want to make this movie, and they're like, okay, but you have to do this, and the director's like, no, I want to do this. Like, the perfect example is Spider-Man 3, Sam Raimi. Like, he wanted Venom to be the villain, or Sandman to be the villain, and they're like, no, we want Venom to be the villain. Yeah. He's like, but I want Sandman, and he's like, you gotta put Venom in there, you're not making the movie, and he's like, well, fine, fuck you, I'll put them both in.
And that's how we got emo Spider-Man.
Yes. So, the reason I'm, like, at all looking forward to this movie is because they're actually going to have the Huntress. And I'm actually happy with the actress they chose.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Winstead.
Are you upset that she's not wearing the DC Unlimited costume that you always request on every fucking commission that you get?
No, you know what? I'm actually like, I actually really like the new costume. I'm actually more disappointed that she's not wearing the new costume, because I think that one looks really badass and would look awesome on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also learned my lesson after watching X-Men Days of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Where they finally had Psylocke on screen and everyone was wearing their full, like, X-Men battle suits and she's wearing her bathing suit. And I'm like, all right, I like that costume in the comics and on, like, in artwork. But on screen, like, I would have been really, really cool with you guys changing that. It's, like, really cool. And as much
you,
as I, like...
You asked for too much.
As much as I find Olivia Munn to be attractive, and she looked good in that costume, it just looked way out of place.
Oh,
when she was, like, standing next to everybody else. It's like, so, hey, so we're going to the beach after, right? I didn't want to change.
Yeah.
But one thing that, like seeing the whole cast, like, where they do, like, the pan where they're all kind of, like, standing in a row, all the ladies.
Yeah.
I didn't, either everybody else is really short or Mary Elizabeth Winstead is kind of tall. Because she was actually, like a head above everybody.
Yeah.
Which would make sense, like with her Huntress kicking ass. And they have the motorcycle, I mean, the crossbow, and they seem to have stuff. I just don't know if they're going to make her too, like, broody or emo.
I don't know.
Like, you know, so, I don't know, man.
It just, like, was she ever, like, Harley Quinn, was she ever part of Birds of Prey, or is this just, like, a recent comic adaptation?
This is a few. It's not even a current comic adaptation. I guess when they, because they had the Birds of Prey out and they stopped it, but I guess when they relaunch it soonish, she's going to be part of the crew somehow. Because in the comics now, she's more of a anti-hero, kind of Catwoman-esque or Deadpool. I think they're definitely not shying away from the fact they're trying to make her into Lady Deadpool. And they're not being subtle about it at all in the movie. And that's why she's pretty much there. They're like, well, we got to put Harley Quinn. And that was my point about the studio's involvement. I think they're like, we want to make a Birds of Prey trailer. And they're like, well, nobody knows these characters. Nobody knows or gives a shit about Black Canary or Huntress.
Yeah.
So they're like, let's do Harley Quinn. But why? It's like, why not Batwoman? Where's Batwoman?
I don't know.
It's too hard. 'Cause that's the Birds of Prey. There's three of them.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think they could have went with a different choice. I think it's just, like, it's just, you know what the thing is? Is, like, I get it with, like, the money thing, but it's just, like, it just shows you that DC doesn't have any confidence in making movies. Like, Marvel fucking took Ant-Man and made Ant-Man into a good movie. Like, why can't DC do the same shit?
Right, and people forget that before the Iron Man 1, Iron Man was, like, a B character.
Yeah.
Like, if you went to the stores and bought Marvel, like, shit, it was usually Captain America, Spider-Man, and Hulk on the shirts.
Yep.
No Iron Man anywhere. So I read this line on the Wikipedia about the description of the movie, just one sentence, and now I'm very, like, even more apprehensive about this movie, because you just have to replace names, and it's the plot of Deadpool 2. All right, so I'm going to read it as it's written, and I'm going to read it. I'll say it again, changing names. So Birds of Prey follows Harley Quinn as she joined forces with Black Canary and the Huntress and Renee Montoya to save Cassandra Cain from Gotham City crime lord Black Mask. Or it could be Deadpool 2 follows Deadpool as he joins forces with Megasonic Teenage Witch and Colossus and Cable to save that kid from, you know, or somebody else to save that kid from Cable. Right?
Yep.
Fuck this, dude. Like, I want this movie to be good.
You can't nice things, Danny. You can't have nice things.
And the reason I want it to be not good is because if the Huntress became popular in a movie, maybe you could actually find, like, artwork of her at conventions. So I didn't have to pay, like, $300 to have an artist that I like supply me art of the character that I like.
No.
I could just get a print.
No.
So... You know what? I don't think I ever told you this story, Sean.
Okay.
So, when I go to conventions, if I have an idea to get a commission from somebody, I'll just kind of go up and, like, discuss price and whatnot. But I won't give any details. And Jody feels that, like, I need to for some reason. And instead of, like, letting me have the conversation, she'll jump in and she's like, oh, have you ever drawn the Huntress? And then she'll take over the conversation to the point where, like, I'm not even part of it anymore. And I told her, I'm like, can you please not do that? Like, she's like, why not? And I'm like, because I just wanted to get the details that I want. I don't want them to, like, get the idea of drawing a Huntress. because I want to have their, I want to be the one that gets their hunters kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so she did that with correlations.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, like a little bit later, she was like, yeah, I was just sitting around at home bored and I decided to do a Huntress watercolor thing. And the original's already been sold. And she's like, I'm like, oh, she's made a thing and it's already sold. She's like, so it's my fault? I'm like, you're the one that told her I wanted Huntress, not me. She, if it would have been on Reddit, I would have definitely been the asshole in that one, according to her.
Probably. But anyways.
But then they started filming for the Suicide Squad sequel as well.
Yeah, they did.
And so James Gunn is writing and directing it, and he released the cast list. The cast is pretty good, man. He's got Jai Courtney's coming back, Margot Robbie's coming back, a couple other people. But then he's also got his brother, Sean Gunn, of course.
Yep.
Who's probably going to do some mocap shit. Nathan Fillion, Taika Waititi.
Really?
Yes. He was. You know who he is, right?
No.
He's the director of Green Lantern.
Really?
And also Thor Ragnarok.
Interesting. wait, he's in Thor Ragnarok? I didn't even notice. I haven't watched the movie. But
oh, he directed Thor Ragnarok, and he is in the movie. He does the voice of one of the like characters that kind of stole the show.
Yeah.
But it's just funny. I didn't realize that he had done Green Arrow, or Green Lantern, I mean. But I saw this thing, and they had like, it was like meet, like a behind-the-scenes thing with actors or whatever, and they had two of the kids from Stranger Things, and they had Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi on it.
Uh-huh.
And they're like all introducing, like they're like, "Hi, I'm Ronald and Ryan." And they're like, the kids are like, "Hi, hi." And he leans over. It's like, "Oh, hi, I'm Ryan." He's like, "Oh, I'm Taiki." And he's like, "Yeah, we've never met before, have we?" And he's like, "No, this is our first time working together." And the kids are like, "Didn't you guys do Green Lantern together?" And the guy's like, "No, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Like, first time we've ever met." And then like something happened, and they looked, and the both of them were gone.
Oh, that's funny.
But then they have Michael Rooker. It's like James Gunn's like, fuck, if I can't, you know, at this point, because he didn't think he was going to be able to do Guardians of the Galaxy, he's like, I'm just going to bring over as many people from Guardians of the Galaxy as I can. Because he got Michael Rooker, Sean Gunn, Nathan Fillion, who was like pretty much does everything that James Gunn wants him to. He was in the first Guardians as an alien extra at the prison scene.
Okay.
And then they have Idris Elba, Pedro Capaldi, who is one of the Doctor Who's. I mean, there's a list of 24 names.
Yeah.
And when he posted this on social media, he captioned it with, "Don't get too attached."
Oh, that's funny.
So, I'm actually more looking forward to that movie, just mostly because of the Gunn effect.
True. I think it'll be better. I think Gunn at least could tell a better story.
Yes. Well, like, I think they had their mind set for the first one, and that was back when DC was still on the funny equals shitty, based on the results of Green Lantern, because that's why that movie sucked, was because apparently jokes made that movie horrible.
I didn't realize that's all it took.
Well, no, that's literally what the studio felt. They're like, well, this movie was horrible because it was too funny, so that's why, like, every movie after that was just, like, super dark and depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super, they went full emo kid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, but I've been watching a couple of Netflix originals, Sean.
Yes.
And you know, like, part of it I did was I downloaded them on my phone so I could watch them while I traveled to different places.
Mm-hmm.
And if you download stuff on like different viewing things like Netflix or VRV, like they expire, right? For what the rights expire.
Yeah, you have to like renew them.
But and that makes sense, especially for Netflix. That makes sense if I'm like downloading a Marvel movie or a property they don't own. Why does the Netflix original shit expire? Like if they own all of the rights to it.
Probably coding. It makes it easier to do one-stop shop kind of coding.
Maybe. I mean, you guess, but it's just bullshit. Because like I went to watch Voltron at one point and it had expired. So I'm like, well, I guess I have to go back home again. But there's this one show on there that I watched. It's called I Think You Should Leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a sketch comedy show. This guy, man, he just puts himself in like some of the most awkward and cringy situations, man. But you just can't help but watch and laugh. And he's got some, like, pretty decent stars battled throughout the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the opening bit, he's, like, wrapping up a job interview at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, all right, I think we're good. So he's like, okay. And he goes to leave, and he starts pulling on the door. And the guy's like, no, you push. And he looks back. He's like, no, I've been here before. It goes both ways. And he's just, like, straining, and you can hear the wood creaking, and he's starting to sweat. And they keep going back to the interviewer, just looking at him. And he go back to him, and he's, like, more sweating and more force, and ends up, like, just basically breaking the hinges on the door.
Yeah.
To pull it open. And he's like, see? It goes both ways. Oh, man. But, yeah, if you just want to watch some dude make an asshole out of himself or, like, other people, it's pretty funny, man. Like, some of the stuff, like, you kind of think you see where it's going, and then it just goes – makes a random turn, and you're just like, I don't even know what's going on here anymore. But it's funny. But then, like I said, I finished watching the Voltron series. It was 8 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Of the most sporadic length I've ever seen.
What do you mean sporadic length?
Like one season's like 6 episodes. Yeah. And then like a couple seasons are like 13 episodes. And then there's like seasons that are anywhere in between. Like 8 episodes, 12 episodes, 10. It's like, dude, like why do you have 2 6 episode seasons? Why don't you just make that one 12 episode season?
Because.
And then throw like a flashback episode in like anime does.
Make a beach scene every season.
Yes. And, you know, like, I grew up watching Voltron, and every episode was pretty much, like, oh, shit, we're being attacked by a Robeast. Oh, no, we can't defeat the Robeast. We have to form Voltron. Oh, no, okay, we form Voltron. Okay, we're still kind of getting our ass kicked a little bit. I know, let's form the sword. Cut the thing in half. Yay, we win. Right?
Yep.
This one actually pretty much follows, like, the characters. They actually have character development, character growth.
Yeah.
Lessons learned.
Okay.
Gayness. Heterosexualness. It's all there, man.
Everything you could want.
Right. It's not just a means to sell action figures. Like, all the cartoons from the 80s were basically just action figure infomercials.
Fair enough.
When people say Michael Bay ruined their childhood because he made Transformers, and it's like, you know, it really wasn't that good to begin with. And then on the way out to Denver, I made sure to renew the licensing rights before I left.
You went out of your way to make sure.
Yes. I watched the, I don't know if it's directorial debut, but the directed and starring, why did I lose her name? Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
I can't either. But you know what I'm talking about.
I'm not a name person. I get what you're saying.
I'm gonna Google while I'm talking. But anyways, so it's basically starring the Captain Marvel and Samuel L. Jackson. Which I thought was weird because I don't think he dropped one motherfucker the whole movie.
It's a very weird movie where Samuel L. Jackson doesn't cuss.
Right.
Or look really intimidating because he could kill you 10 different ways.
Yes. He's got like a – did you watch the movie, Sean?
No. Nah.
I know we saw the trailer. We talked about it.
We did.
But so basically she, gets – like leaves art school because she's going to this like artist – like learning from this artist is supposed to be like super like awesome, trendy. But he's very, like, minimalist, and she's more, like, wild and bright colors. And he basically tells her art sucks and she should die.
Mm.
And so she goes back home and lives with her – moves back into her basement at her parents' house. And she kind of, like, goes and gets a job at a temp agency but hates it. And she gets all these weird invitations with her name on it. And it's to the unicorn store where Samuel L. Jackson is the salesman there. And so she's got to prove herself worthy of owning a unicorn. And then she ends up meeting this guy, and the guy's like, dude, I think you're being scammed. And so she's like kind of unsure. But for, you know, again, frenemy of the show, Jeremy of the Quartering. Like the whole thing, like when Captain Marvel was kind of like coming out and was out and stuff, his big thing was that pretty much everybody in the cast, and especially Samuel L. Jackson, hated Brie Larson.
Oh, like he heard about that or read something about that.
Right. Or if he, and from what I actually watched of the videos more, it was more like what he implied from like interviews. Like he's like, well, look how they're sitting. They're sitting away from her, or like here, right here, she said something and she was asked a question and she answered and Don Cheadle rolled his eyes. And it's like, he probably rolled his eyes because that was a bullshit fucking stupid question that she has to answer again, over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, she wasn't just making, like, her answers up. She had to answer the question. So she was getting a lot of the, well, Captain Marvel's, like, a woman. Is she the strongest woman? And she'd have to, like, kind of answer in a way to make the people happy, I guess. And yeah. So, but for if Samuel Jackson really hated her that bad, like, why would he agree to star in a movie that she's not only starring in, but directing?
Oh, she directed it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, I highly recommend it, like, especially, like, you know, just kind of looking for something, I guess, different, quirky would be the word to describe it. I think she's really good in it. She's not as, like, and that's another thing they talked about, like, he talked about was, like, that Captain Marvel never smiled. And it's like, because she's supposed to be playing someone who is, even though she might not be Kree, whether she is or not, she's raised by the Kree, and they're a very emotionless race.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very weird if she was very happy-go-lucky raised by the Kree, right? Like,
yeah.
My wife wouldn't be the result of somebody who was raised by the Kree.
No, that's you.
Yes. Oh, man. Sean, it's good to be back.
It's back. We're back, baby. Boom, boom. We're back. Listen to our shit on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and other streaming places like Stitcher. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and whatnot. Oh. You can check out what we're drinking on Untappd. You can follow Danny at Sir Hoppyhead. I'm at Dr. Doom 2828, DrDoom 2828.
And I've also kind of been tweeting a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to like keep it up, but I tweeted multiple things over the course of multiple days.
Oh boy, we're a big deal now. We're tweeting.
Yes. It's mostly me just ranting, apparently. That's like what my Twitter is going to be now. I'm just going to use it as my rant page.
My beer wasn't 54 degrees. It was 68.
Exactly.
It was a warm 61 degrees.
Yes, it scalded my well, like one tweet I did was, another October leads to another Dodgers early exit. I think there's a large group of people that owe Angel City Beer an apology.
Hey, everybody will start rioting us and we'll have more people talking about us.
Right. Any kind of news is good news, right? And publicity, I mean, kind of publicity is good publicity, right?
Exactly. So I'm assuming the Dodgers are eliminated?
They lost in the first round against the team that, like, probably shouldn't have made it. But it's funny because, like, the Washington Nationals, like, basically went on, like, a hot streak to end the season and barely squeaked into the wild card.
Yep.
But they're also, like, up at least 2-0. And then I was kind of watching the game a little bit. They're like up 2-0 games wise, and they're up 2-0 score wise tonight in the game 3 against the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh boy!
In the best of 7. So that's the one thing that people don't like about the wild card rule in baseball is if the team that kind of seems to make it like squeak into the wild card spot at the end of the season almost has seems to pretty much high percentage wise win the World Series, like the Angels did when they won. We're like out of the world, out of the playoffs, and then
dude, that like was like in 2002. Why are we complaining about that?
No, but it happens a lot. Like the Marlins did it, the Rockies did it. There's a lot of teams, the Diamondbacks. There's a lot of teams that like they get on that hot streak the last like week or two of the season, squeak into the playoffs, barely make it, and then win the World Series.
You know what? All I have to say is get good, scrub.
Right. If you're going to win 106 games during the regular season, you have no excuse to
fucking
lose.
Win in the playoffs.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say.
Do your job. All right, everybody. Next time.
We'll see you next time.